Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks. Welcome back, Rock Movers. Today's guest is Shate Hayes. This rock mover has done it all. She is the founder and CEO of Career Steward, and she has mastered the art of building dream careers. She's a certified business coach and a career strategist who has authored books like The Freelance Dancer's Roadmap. And she's contributed over 100 career and business-focused articles to esteemed national publications. Now, whether you're a creative freelancer, changing careers, or re-entering the workforce, or even building a side hustle, Shate can help you live your purpose and love your work. And that's exactly what we dive into on today's call. Okay, Rock Movers, I can't tell you how excited I am because I got to meet this amazing rock moving woman a few weeks ago, and as soon as I did, sorry, I'm going to get my microphone closer. As soon as I did, I knew that we had to have her on the show because her story is so amazing and she is so inspiring. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rock Moving platform and community, Shate.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, I fell in love with you first off, and not in a creeper way, y'all. Be nice. But y'all know I love big, and absolutely, you just have an energetic, magnetic personality that draws people into you because your story is sincere, you're sincere, and what you do now is so purposeful, and I'm so in line to that. So I can't wait for them to learn about you. Let's start by asking you to share your big rock moving moment or moments. I think there's a few that really brought you to this place.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, wow, such a lovely intro. I'm just so humbled and just thank you. That was just, that just made my whole day. So
it's so deserving. I just adore you and you're stuck with me now. You know that, right?
Yeah,
like you're in my world. We're stuck.
Happy to be.
And you're from Texas. So
that's right.
Like we're basically family. So
right. Exactly. Texas girls got to stick together, right?
That's right. Especially these days, like women got to stick together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So my big rocks, I mean, I feel like there's so many. You live long enough, right? And life just kind of happens. I don't want to say it happens to you, but, you know, challenges arise and then you confront them and have to figure out what to do with them. I would say for me, an ongoing journey that I've had, and it's so interesting to even reflect on it and be talking about it in this way, because I was a performer in my first career. So I was on stages for a living and helping other people be on stages. But my biggest rock has been sort of giving myself permission or overcoming this fear to be seen. I was always just hiding.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to pause right there because I want people to capture and not miss. I don't want to glaze over what you just said because you were a performer.
Mm-hmm.
So you were being seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many times women do this, right? We're being seen without being seen for who we are.
Yes.
So we're projecting this other persona or this mask or this image of what we want to be seen as, rather than allowing our true essence, our true gifts, our true spirit and heart to be seen fully. So I think that's what drew me to you was you have this amazing story of being so visual.
Mm-hmm.
You're on stage, you're dancing, you're teaching others to dance, you're doing all of this. And yet we still related on the same issue about the confidence to be fully seen.
Yes.
Like emotionally naked mm-hmm. on the stage and just bare all of our scars, wounds, faults, everything for the world to see and be okay with that.
Yeah. And I think for me, it was a sort of a hiding or a being guarded by mm-hmm. perfectionism and people pleasing, that was sort of the wall that was up for me. And so I think it's really interesting to say, because when I was performing or on a stage, I was very much sort of lost in this zone where I felt totally like me. But then there was still so much of me, like you were just saying, the real me, what I truly desire, what I truly thought, what I truly feel. I'm only going to keep that, you know, for certain people, and like the truest, realest parts of me, I'm just going to keep that to myself. And so I've just come to a place in my life where I am learning. So this is active work that's happening for me. I'm actively learning to accept all of the pieces of me. So now it's not as scary to then share that with the world, because what the world thinks doesn't matter to me as much.
You said a whole lot right there. You can get to a place where you're okay with what the world thinking of you and not allowing that to impact the choices that you make.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that you don't have to control that. You don't even have to consider it. I think that's the shift where things begin to internalize and become so clear that it truly is the defining rock, is the letting go, when you can move that rock and let go of the people pleasing and putting other people's opinions or even perceived opinions. Because sometimes we think they think a whole lot about us, when in truth, they don't think about us at all, really.
Exactly. They got their own stuff going on.
They do. We all do. But somehow we think that people are going to presume something about us, and that's going to matter or mean something that in turn is going to impact, or I mean, it's just a sphere, right? Everything is fear and shame based, and when we come to those things. So I love that you shared that, because you've had such a successful career there. What have you been able to do with this awakening, I guess, if you will, of coming to this realization that their opinions don't matter, stepping into this confidence of being seen? What has that changed? What are you doing with it? And what does that look like for you now?
That's a really good question. Because I'm actively moving through it, I can tell you what I'm noticing that's changing. I'm noticing that, you know, it can kind of disrupt your relationships a little bit, especially if folks were used to experiencing you a certain way before. So if
100%, yes.
Right. People are used to experiencing you as a people pleasing, sure, whatever you say goes kind of thing, just for the sake of keeping peace, not because you're a pushover per se. And now you start to have opinions, and now you start to say, well, actually, this doesn't work for me. And now you start to have boundaries, and you're not sort of like wavering on those for the sake of the other person. You're starting to sort of give away some of the things that I kept, as my therapist would say. That can be very disruptive to your relationships. I can tell you, this confidence I needed to, you know, book jobs like Beyonce. It's always a dream of mine to work with Beyonce, but I can't work with a powerhouse like Beyonce if I'm afraid to be seen, right? So I had a really wonderful, lovely, just beautiful dance career that I'm so proud of. And I believe that my hiding sort of kept me at a ceiling. It was really self-imposed. And so now, as I'm building my own business and helping other people build careers that they love, I'm able to really put myself out there in a way that I never really did before. I'm able to share my story, the good, the bad, the indifferent, the ugly, all of the pieces of it. And I feel like I have a stronger place. It doesn't mean that I don't have self-doubt sometimes still, or, you know, I don't question what's happening, or I'm not frustrated with where I am. It's just now I have a more secure experience of who I am and what I'm doing. And I think it helps me to be even more, you know, impactful with helping other people find their way to, you know, careers that light them up.
I love that. So tell me if this was your experience too, the more you evolved, as you said, the people you begin to see when you create a boundary, the people who, I guess, let me say it this way, the only people who didn't like the boundary were the people who were taking advantage or who benefited from you not having that boundary.
I think so. And I'm hesitant to say take advantage of, because I know, I don't think everyone has necessarily intentions to sort of be that way, but I will say,
let's say benefited from.
Yeah, that's a really great way to say it. People who benefited from me not having boundaries, or people who don't, my therapist even pointed this out, someone who doesn't have boundaries themselves will have a problem with you having boundaries too. So it's like one, those were,
that's a good one,
instances that I saw it most. If it was, you know, a family member or friend who doesn't have their own boundaries, and all of a sudden you're saying, hey, this doesn't work for me, then they're like, ooh, what do you mean? You can say things don't work for you, or you can say, you know,
yeah,
I don't have, not right now, or for, you know, someone who benefit from me not having them. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. So I think that it's really that, that double-edged, so they're either triggered by it, so it's bringing up something within them, or they're inspired by it.
Yeah.
Something, they're like, oh, like you gave them permission, right? So, oh, you can say that? You know, I think that has been my experience as well, and was one of my literal goals this year, was I wanted to get around women who triggered me. Because I noticed that when I would get around women who were doing things I wanted to do but struggled with, I would find myself resisting, judging, and moving away from. So I would, you know, make an opinion about them like, oh, they're just, you know, they're not very nice, or, you know, or make assumptions like, oh, well, they're too big for me. I can't play in that game. And so this year I stepped into a new role with an organization I'm president of. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to be the president, I need to be the president.
Yeah.
I need to step into this. It's a statewide organization. Those women are women I would love to have on my stage speaking and pouring into my members. And I need to go first. So I'm going to intentionally create relationships with them and see how it goes. So that was my goal, was intentionally, if I feel myself being triggered, I'm going to move, lean in rather than pull back.
Yeah, I love that. Congratulations.
It was such a gift. What I learned is those women were nothing like I assumed they were. Can't even think of one that was a bad experience. Almost all of them participated in my event that I just had. And these are women that I thought, you know, they don't have time for me. They're too busy. They're too big. They're too whatever I imagined. And they were all so kind, so sweet. Almost all of them have expressed that they struggle with the exact same things you and I have talked about. They're just women doing life. They're intentional. They're just maybe two steps ahead of me, or three steps ahead of me, or one step ahead of me, or they're right in line with me and they just are doing the work. And it was such a beautiful gift internally for me to see behind the curtain of some assumptions I had made that were incorrect, and to give myself permission that, oh, okay, she's doing that. I just need to commit and not quit.
Or, yeah.
Oh, she's doing that. I need to stop assuming anything about anybody. It's just a great realization. It was truly, has been literally life-changing, because now I have a network of women that are doing great things, big things that I get to support, that support me in return. And it's just been a beautiful rock that I got to let go of, and a story I get to share now with, you know, with my clients and people that listen to this, is that was a painful lesson. But when you get triggered by something, challenge yourself to lean in to the trigger, identify, dig in. Why am I being triggered? What is it bringing out in me? Is it a jealousy? Is it a fear? Is it, you know, what is it? Because for me, it was that envy, that desire to be where they were. They had something or were doing something I wanted to do that I felt, for whatever reason, I wasn't capable of.
And
I said, oh, okay, I can. I am doing that already. And I just didn't even give myself credit for some of those things. So it was a great lesson, great exercise.
That's really powerful. It's so interesting that you say that. That is literally the thing my therapist was talking to us about on Friday, like literally days ago. So
okay, you've heard it twice. So
I need to pay attention to it.
That's right. That's right.
Exactly. So yeah, the conversation was any instinct that you have to sort of withdraw, you know, so even though I'm outwardly creative and I can do things, even when I'm scared, I'm naturally introverted and I want to like kind of be to myself and process alone and sort of, you know, shut down a little bit. And she's like, no, like whenever you're feeling that way, lean in, try to do the opposite, pull yourself out of it, don't regress. So yeah, that's really powerful that you did that. Congratulations again.
Thank you. Yeah, that was not, that the results were not expected. It was a, such a gift. So it really has changed my whole experience. So I'm really grateful for that. But as you're moving into this next phase, so you're moving away from the performing and into serving, I would love to learn how, or have you share more with our guests that are listening about that journey, because I found that so interesting how you evolved into this new career and what you're doing now to help people, especially in the entrepreneurial space, because a lot of our listeners either desire to be an entrepreneur or they already are. And I think there's tremendous fear right now in the season that we're going into. It's an election year that always brings up some trepidation, but it also brings out tremendous opportunities when we look for them. So I'd love to hear about your story.
Yeah. So I was a professional dancer for about 12 years, professional dancer, choreographer, educator, taught at a number of college campuses, you know, got a master's in dance and taught all over actually the Dallas area. So many college campuses in that area. I taught for a number of years and choreographed a ton of theater there as well and traveled overseas. I did all of these things. And I'm saying all this to say I was so proud of this career. Like, I was like, my gosh, I made my dreams come true. Everyone should feel this way. And I was completely blindsided by the fact that I evolved past it one day. So I had these pebbles when I was about to start a semester and kind of some nudgings that was like, oh, it's not that fun anymore. Or, you know, I have priorities in my life are different. I want to buy a home. I don't want to be working 12 hours a day. You know, like things like that started to change. So when I finally came to the realization that this is not for me or I'm ready for something more, completely caught me off guard. I was just like, I never thought I was going to be doing anything else. I had an identity crisis. I was like, what am I supposed to do now? Who am I if I'm not dancing? You know, like, what is life beyond dance? And especially because I've been dancing since I was like 3 or 4. It was like, I was never not performing, right? And so to all of a sudden be like this thing that I've loved so much, I'm not doing it anymore. That was like, wow. So I really resonate deeply with, you know, folks, sports athletes who get injured and they can't do the thing that they love anymore, because I deeply know, like, you're probably questioning who you are and what you're meant, like, why am I here then, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fortunately,
that can be for athletes. That can be for anyone who is unable to do something that they so deeply rooted their identity.
Yeah. 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 And it's interesting because I never thought I did. I guess, I mean, obviously so. Of course, it was like dance was everything. Performance was everything. Even in college and high school, like I was literally always on some sort of team in some sort of group that was performing.
Yeah.
And so I had the fortunate experience of when I was in grad school that the dance chair, the department chair, came into the grad student office like 5 minutes before a career course for undergrads, 5 minutes before it started. And she said, hey, we need a TA for this class. Can you do it? It starts in 5 minutes. I was like, oh, sure. So just saying yes to something. I get into this class for the semester.
So TA, teaching assistant.
Exactly. And it's my responsibility to help the professor sort of shepherd the undergrads to launch their careers post-graduation. And at this point, I had done the LA thing. I had an agent. I had all these, I literally had already built a career and they were so interested in what I had to say. And so being able to teach them all the things that I did not know when I was first starting out gave me a type of joy that I had not anticipated. I just fell in love with that sort of the guidance, the teaching, the helping, the coaching, the all of it. And so much so that even as an educator, most of my curriculum was geared towards like, how can I impart some sort of career or life skill in what I'm teaching you beyond the movement? What are you going to do with this experience beyond here? So I wasn't even thinking in that lane when I decided to, you know, move on. But obviously, like, of course I was going to be doing that. How could I not have known that? I was already, I had this career resource at the time called The Working Dancer, and I was blogging and podcasting and writing articles for Dance Magazine. I was like literally already doing the work. And yeah, I think one thing led to another. And then now, you know, I'm here doing career work full time. And I think I have just as much passion for it as I did for dance. So I love it.
One rock at a time. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Okay, rock movers. I can't tell you how excited I am because I got to meet this amazing rock moving woman a few weeks ago. And as soon as I did, sorry, I'm going to get my microphone closer. As soon as I did, I knew that we had to have her on the show because her story is so amazing and she is so inspiring. So welcome, welcome, welcome to the Rock Moving platform and community, Shate.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, I fell in love with you first off, and not in a creeper way, y'all. Be nice. But y'all know I love big, and absolutely, you just have an energetic, magnetic personality that draws people into you because your story is sincere, you're sincere, and what you do now is so purposeful, and I'm so in line to that. So I can't wait for them to learn about you. Let's start by asking you to share your big rock moving moment or moments. I think there's a few that really brought you to this place.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, wow, such a lovely intro. I'm just so humbled and just thank you. That was just, that just made my whole day. So
it's so deserving. I just adore you and you're stuck with me now. You know that, right?
Yeah,
like you're in my world. We're stuck.
Happy to be.
And you're
happy
from Texas. So
that's right.
Like we're basically family. So
right. Exactly. Texas girls got to stick together, right?
That's right. Especially these days, like women got to stick together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So my big rocks. I mean, I feel like there's so many. You live long enough, right? And life just kind of happens. I don't want to say it happens to you, but you know, challenges arise, and then you confront them and have to figure out what to do with them. I would say for me, an ongoing journey that I've had, and it's so interesting to even reflect on it and be talking about it in this way, because I was a performer in my first career. So I was on stages for a living and helping other people be on stages. But my biggest rock has been sort of giving myself permission or overcoming this fear to be seen. I was always just hiding.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to pause right there because I want people to capture and not miss. I don't want to glaze over what you just said because you were a performer.
Mm-hmm.
So you were being seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so many times women do this, right? We're being seen without being seen for who we are.
Yes.
So we're projecting this other persona or this mask or this image of what we want to be seen as, rather than allowing our true essence, our true gifts, our true spirit and heart to be seen fully. So I think that's what drew me to you was you have this amazing story of being so visual.
Mm-hmm.
You're on stage, you're dancing, you're teaching others to dance, you're doing all of this. And yet we still related on the same issue about the confidence to be fully seen.
Yes.
Like emotionally naked mm-hmm. on the stage and just bare all of our scars, wounds, faults, everything for the world to see and be okay with that.
Yeah. And I think for me, it was a sort of a hiding or a being guarded by perfectionism and people pleasing. That was sort of the wall that was up for me. And so I think it's really interesting to say, because when I was performing or on a stage, I was very much sort of lost in this zone where I felt totally like me, but then there was still so much of me, like you were just saying, the real me, what I truly desire, what I truly thought, what I truly feel. I'm only going to keep that, you know, for certain people and like the truest, realest parts of me. I'm just going to keep that to myself. And so I've just come to a place in my life where I am learning. So this is active work that's happening for me. I'm actively learning to accept all of the pieces of me. So now it's not as scary to then share that with the world, because what the world thinks doesn't matter to me as much.
You said a whole lot right there. When you can get to a place where you're okay with what the world thinking of you and not allowing that to impact the choices that you make, Mm-hmm. And you realize that you don't have to control that. You don't even have to consider it. I think that's the shift where things begin to internalize and become so clear that it truly is the defining rock, is the letting go, when you can move that rock and let go of the people pleasing and putting other people's opinions or even perceived opinions. Because sometimes we think they think a whole lot about us when in truth, they don't think about us at all, really.
Exactly. Exactly. They got their own stuff going on.
They do. We all do. But somehow we think that people are going to presume something about us and that's going to matter or mean something that in turn is going to impact it's just this fear, right? Everything is fear and shame based. And when it we come to those things. So I love that you shared that because you've had such a successful career there. What have you been able to do with this awakening, I guess, if you will, of coming to this realization that their opinions don't matter, stepping into this confidence of being seen? What has that changed? What are you doing with it? And what does that look like for you now?
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. Because I'm actively moving through it, I can tell you what I'm noticing that's changing. I'm noticing that, you know, it can kind of disrupt your relationships a little bit, especially if folks were used to experiencing you a certain way before. So if
100%, yes.
Right, are people used to experiencing you as a people pleasing, sure, whatever you say goes kind of thing, just for the sake of keeping peace, not because you're a pushover per se. And now you start to have opinions and now you start to say, well, actually, this doesn't work for me. And now you start to have boundaries and you're not sort of like wavering on those for the sake of the other person. You're starting to sort of give away some of the things that I kept, as my therapist would say, that can be very disruptive to your relationships. I can tell you this confidence I needed to, you know, book jobs like Beyonce. It's always a dream of mine to work with Beyonce, but I can't work with a powerhouse like Beyonce if I'm afraid to be seen, right? So I had a really wonderful, lovely, just beautiful dance career that I'm so proud of. And I believe that my hiding sort of kept me at a ceiling. It was really self-imposed. And so now, as I'm building my own business and helping other people build careers that they love, I'm able to really put myself out there in a way that I never really did before. I'm able to share my story, the good, the bad, the indifferent, the ugly, all of the pieces of it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have a stronger place. It doesn't mean that I don't have self-doubt sometimes still, or, you know, I don't question what's happening, or I'm not frustrated with where I am. It's just now I have a more secure experience of who I am and what I'm doing. And I think it helps me to be even more, you know, impactful with helping other people find their way to, you know, careers that like them up.
I love that. So tell me if this was your experience too, I love that. So sometimes we get so focused on an end goal.
Mm-hmm.
We miss the things that are obvious right in front of us. And when we do see them, you know, it's like, oh, like you've been there all along. That could be a person, that could be an opportunity. But it truly is when we get in alignment with that opportunity, whatever it is, everything just begins to show up, right? That the particular activating system goes into effect.
Yeah.
And you see it everywhere. It's like, of course I'm doing this, and then this, and then it's like everything just lines up. That's how coaching was for me as well. Mm-hmm. And so I started coaching my daughter in pageant world. She was getting ready for a pageant.
Nice.
And she had started, she was 14. And our friend, our neighbor and friend had started coaching her. And a year in, she won her first contest and was getting ready for her second. And our friend was killed in a car accident. And so unexpectedly, I had to, unexpectedly, I had to jump in and help her. And just that dominoed into, you know, helping her with other things. And then other people asked me to help their daughters. And then moms asked me to help them. And then all of a sudden, I have a coaching business that I'm doing part time. And then I began to see how much I loved that and didn't love my, I was a financial advisor. So I didn't love my financial advisor career as much as I loved inspiring and working with people in the coaching space And so it just became obvious. I kept getting referrals for, or people would find me to coach them on life coaching or business coaching. And I would refer them to other people. And literally one day it was like God just thumped me upside the head with this, you know, thought of quit sending these people off. Like, they're meant to work with you. What are you doing?
Uh-huh.
I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I need to get trained. I need to be prepared. I really need to do them a service. And so I signed up for coaching school right after that and got certified. And it has just been the joy of my life.
I love that.
To do that. But it just organically happened and grew from, you know, an unfortunate situation that I didn't expect. But yeah. It was exactly the push that I needed into that. So anyway,
yeah, beautiful
ending from a, you know, how I guess Satan can mean something for evil and God turns it for good. So that was my good that came out of that.
Yeah.
But today you uh-huh. are serving, you are helping people tap into their greatness and find their pathways. What do you see as your most enjoyable lessons that have really allowed you to blossom in your purpose? Because this season of the Rock Movers is all about that bigger purpose, you know, finding your spiritual calling and your why for life. How mm-hmm. does that evolve from this? And how are you nurturing that and serving in that now? So this isn't really about your people that you're working with, more so mm-hmm. it's about the impact on you.
Mm-hmm.
And how others can learn from this.
Yeah, I would say for me, the story is purpose has always been paramount for me. You know, I remember, so I'm a continuous learner, an avid reader. I have a book collection of like over 200 books. And so I remember years ago, like really devouring everything in Purpose-Driven Life. And then there are other books since then that I've like really tried to make sure that I am sort of understanding the assignment when it comes to my life. So much so that even in grad school, I did my thesis research on the connection between creativity and spirituality. And for me, that was an interpretation of, or basically the most tangible way I could sort of research what it meant to feel like you're in purpose. So I was like, oh, this creative practice of dance feels like this is exactly what I'm meant to be doing in this moment. How is that connected to sort of like a divine assignment? And I literally live my life that way in everything that I do. So beyond dance, because I still believe that dance chose me, very much the way, like I never asked to be in a dance class. My parents just put me in it, right? And I just happened mm-hmm. to love it. I never asked to do the career stuff. Someone just offered it to me and yeah. I just fell in love with it, right? And so the same way that I have that experience with career support, it is so much like, I feel like it is literally why I'm here, like to help other people feel that, you know, oh my gosh, I can't believe I get to do this for a living feeling. And that is what I try to make sure I am imparting. If I could bottle that up and give it to everyone, I absolutely would. Like, I just want everyone to feel like they have a purpose connected, lit up kind of experience of what they do every day. And I think that there are exceptions to every rule. Not every person is going to want to make money from the thing that makes them happy. Some people do mm-hmm. want that sort of divide, and I think that's okay. But for people who want to be fulfilled by what they do, who want to be operating in their zone of genius in some kind of way, I just really want them to know that they can, and they don't have to settle for some version of a life that doesn't light them up, you know?
Yeah, I love it. And I love that you said that, because I don't think everybody has to do the thing that brings you the most purpose as your career. It doesn't yeah. have to be the thing that you make mm-hmm. money from. But every soul on this planet deserves to find the thing that does light them up.
Absolutely.
And engage in that in some way, somehow in their life, so that they are living the thing that their soul was meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're accomplishing their purpose. I mean, what a wasted opportunity if you just stay in a situation that you feel unhappy with, that you feel unfulfilled with, that you feel sad about or depressed about. There's so much more. There's so much more to life. If your job or your relationship or your current situation is stressing you out, there's no joy there, there's no peace, there's no prosperity. This is your red flag wake-up call to to do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
There is a calling out there, and sometimes it's just as simple as keeping your eyes open and seeing the opportunity that's been waiting for you to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
There, been there the yeah. whole time.
Been there the whole time.
On you.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you want people to know about you from this call? So if somebody's like, wow, I would love to have a career like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is she the right person to help me? Is this the white, you know, white flag of me mm-hmm. surrendering, going, okay, enough is enough. I'm giving up. I'm going to do something about this. What do you want them to know about you, about the next steps, about how you help?
Mm-hmm.
What does that look
Man,
like?
Man, I wouldn't even know where to start because there's so many things that I could say about what you just mentioned. My goodness. So back to what you were just saying before, one of the things I would want people to know is I think that there are two main buckets of folks who are like in a situation and they want more. Mm-hmm. They can either say, I know I want more, but I don't know what the more is.
Right.
That's one group of folks.
That's a big but group mm-hmm. of folks.
Mm-hmm. Then there's another group of folks who they're saying they don't know what they want, but they actually, if you could just keep peeling back the layers, they actually do know what they want and they're just afraid to
yes.
go after it. They don't think they can have it. They think they're too old. They think they don't have enough money. They're not connected enough. Insert whatever not enoughness they've sort yes. of believed. And so they're just staying there because they don't think they can really have the thing that they want. I think the thing that I would want people to know is that, especially for that second bucket, it is a lie. Period.
Yes.
It's just not.
Wait,
it's not
say
real.
That again for the people in the back that weren't listening.
It is a lie. It's not
lie,
truth. You can have that. And so I know I said this before, but if you don't remember anything else from this conversation, know that you can have a life that lights you up, where you're fulfilled, you're mm. working in your strengths, your interests in a way that service that isn't yes. in service to someone else. And yeah, I mean, I help people do that. So that's the it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Seriously, if you made it this far in this podcast and you heard that and you're like, it's a lie. Is it a lie? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it's a lie. Mm-hmm. If I heard this one day and it absolutely changed things for me when I began to apply it and believe it. There is a desire on your heart. It is there for a reason for you to pursue. So the fact that you want to have a business or you want to start something that you are afraid of, that you don't know how to start, that you don't, no one in your family's ever done it. You know, no one in your family's ever been a millionaire. No one in your family's ever been an entrepreneur, or your family has done that and failed. So obviously
yeah.
you can't do it because they failed. This is what we're talking about. That fear is a lie. That thought is a lie. Because you have the desire on your heart, that means you have the ability to pursue it.
100%.
You just don't have all of the things together yet.
Yet. Yes. And if I could add to that, two thoughts. I heard you mentioned God. And so I'm imagining there are faith-based folks here in your audience.
Yes.
I heard a minister say once before, going to the desires in your heart. I've heard it preached before that God literally places the desire in your heart. So we all know that, you know, God gives you the desires of your heart kind of scripture. And we all think that whatever I desire, whatever I think I want, God's just going to give it to me. But I've heard it preached before that, no, giving you the desires of your heart means that he literally put it there. So if there's something yes. that you're wanting in that sort of really deep, pulling, mm-hmm. energetic kind of way, that's really not even from you. That's from, you know, a higher source. So that's one thing. Say.
Yes. Oh, that's such a great way that because it exists means that God's already given you the desires of your heart.
Exactly.
I love that.
Exactly. That was a really big perspective shift for me. That was like, oh, if I'm really deeply feeling something that won't go away, I need to pay attention to that because mm-hmm. that's probably not even from me. That's something else, right?
Yeah.
The second thing I'd say is, and this kind of comes from my whole world, you know, you spoke to being certified before. So I did the same thing when I started to help folks with their careers. I recently became a certified business coach so I could help, you know, folks who are freelancers and they want to build a body of work. I want to understand how I can help them best. And so the entity that I got certified through, Hello 7, they often talk about, you know, don't think about the if you can have something. Think about how. So if you even just change the language of that question to how could I possibly insert, you know, whatever the thing is, it allows for more creative energy to flow your way. And and then it kind of releases you from thinking that I can get it, achieve the thing, the outcome in this one specific way. And it really opens you up to say, oh, it could be this way or this way or this way or this way. And, you know, if you just stay open to that, that could really help you ease your way into the thing that you truly desire.
I love that. Yes, I love that. And that is one of the mind shifts I love using with my clients when they're like, I can't do this. How can you do this? And then is it a process or a person that you need to do this, right? Do you
That's
need
good.
To add a process? Do you need to learn a process? Is it something you need to acquire? Is it somebody that you need? So, you know, where is the work? If there's something missing, you know, it's usually a process or a person, but sometimes it's just literally our own thoughts that are in the way because, you know, as they say, where your attention goes, energy flows. So if you're focused on, I can't do this, you're absolutely right. You can't.
Absolutely.
You can. You're absolutely right. You can find a way. So such a great, great, great perspective shift. Thank you for re-energizing that, because it's so easy, I think, as a coach, someone that's gone through training, gone through certification, we can pour and pour and pour into people's lives. And sometimes we need that mirror held back up for us. And so that was just such a good shift in my perspective today. I needed that today. I'm just going to leave it right there. That it's just a reminder that if it's already on your heart, God's already given you the desires.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to us to not waste that opportunity, to not waste that desire and the talents that we've been given on things that are just so self-serving. And I think that's where the fear comes from, is when we think, what are they going to think about me? What is that going to mean about me? How is that going to impact me? The fear tends to grow and grow and grow. And we, you know, get this fear stack rather than a confidence stack, where it's like, how can I help them? What can I do about that? You know, how can I make an impact here? You know, if I step out, who can I help? By being selfish, I'm really, you know, self-protecting, I'm really being selfish because I'm not making the impact that I could by getting out of my own way. And I see so many people, when they see that shift, when they take their focus off of themselves, take it off of inward and move it outward, the things that people say don't matter. Right? I'm here to help others. And Alex Hermosi said that in 3 generations, nobody will remember me. Nobody will remember the haters that judged me. And so why not do what I want to do and make the impact I want to make now? Because in 3 generations, it's not going to matter.
No.
So what matters today? And I heard that, I was just like, 3 generations is not far off.
That's not.
You know, I'm already looking at 2, me, my daughter, my grandkids. So it's just one more generation away. My grandkids' kids and their grandkids, they won't know me. So why not do what I'm called to do and serve big and love big and do all the things? And is it going to make some people mad, or is it going to make some people wonder what you're doing? Probably.
Yeah. And why do we care?
And why do we care? Does it matter?
Yeah.
Inquiry minds want to know. So if you could do, here's a question I haven't asked, but I'm going to ask you because of the conversation we've had. If you could do anything next, big, bold, brassy, crazy, loud, you did not expect this. So I'm going to give you a second to think about it, but you're laughing. So I know you already got
something. I know immediately now.
Okay. What is it?
I would absolutely, I don't know if I would want to go on tour, but if Beyonce was like, I'm going to hire dancers my age who are, you know, like, I'm not later in life, but I'm definitely older than professional dancers are right now. I'm going to hire dancers my age and we're going to do a couple shows. My goodness, if I could do that, that would just be like, oh my gosh, heavenly.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So what would you have to do that?
Well, you know, I would have to actually probably have a desire to audition, which I just don't anymore. You know, there's so many things about that lifestyle that I don't have.
So if it could be handed to you.
Exactly.
And she just knew how amazing and awesome you were.
If it was like, you know, we're in the same dance classes, a lot of dancers, at least when I was in the industry, we got a lot, our networking was in class, right? So you go to classes, you take from choreographers who are holding auditions. So if we just happened to, you know, stumble into the same dance class and she was like, oh my gosh, you'd be perfect for this thing I'm doing. Do you have the time? I would literally drop everything and make time.
Yes, before she could even do you, you were like, yes. Yes, I do.
Absolutely.
Yes, whatever it is you're asking me, I do.
I will do.
I love that. Okay, so we're putting it out into the world podcast. We're going to tag her just in case this is on your bucket list, Beyonce. Her email link will be in the show notes. Or if you know her.
Beyonce, yes.
Her tour manager, her, you know, choreographer that's looking for girls. You know, I have your next person for the next queen tour that you're going to do. We already got it lined up. And she's probably got five other girls that can do it too. So
exactly. I'm a fellow Texas girl. I'm a fellow Houstonian. So, you know, like we said at the beginning of the show, us Texas girls got to stick together. Right.
Okay. Another reason why Beyonce needs you on her next tour.
Exactly.
I love it. I love it. So such a fun story. I think sometimes just living in the possibilities of those big dreams is so much fun and allows us to see, you know, the joy in the dream and the joy in thinking bigger and living bigger. Because when we begin to move those big rocks out of the way, it's like you feel like the smaller pebbles are so much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really resonates with me today. Yeah, thank you for saying that. Because there are some times where I did want to mention, we've been talking about, you know, give yourself permission and don't believe the lie. Always like to be honest about expectation setting. I think, for example, when I transitioned from my dance career, if I had known to sort of expect some sort of gap period where I was not fully who I was becoming, but not fully who I was anymore. And there's this really weird middle phase where I just felt out of sorts and like, what am I doing? And why am I making all the mistakes? And should I have left? Like, if I had known to sort of expect that, I wonder if I could have handled it differently. And not even just that, just anything in general, starting a new business. All of this is like life I'm learning is one big experiment, right? And I think we sort of, and I'll speak for myself, sort of set out when I do things like I have this strategy, I'm going to follow this plan, and then I'm going to get to the place. And like life is like, no, ma'am, that's not how it goes. Like you're going to have some challenges and there's going to be a time gap here and you're going to, you know, like if we could just be honest about that part too, like you can absolutely have the life and the career business that you dream of. And you're going to have to, you know, work for it in a very sort of aligned way, right? You're going to have to put some action forth. You're going to have some doubts. You're going to have some setbacks. You're going to have some failures, and you can do it. You can still have it. It's still yours. You just have to be able to, you know, persist past all of that.
So those are my two philosophies this year, is leaning in and being intentional about, you know, leaning in when I'm triggered and living in the and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm scared about this.
Yeah.
Scared to do this, and I can still do it. I've failed before, and I can try again, or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
Right? It sucks, and I'm gonna do it anyway.
Yes.
You know, the power of living in the and was something that I picked up from my coach, and she has the Yes And podcast, and she says it all the time, and I just like, okay, I'm just living in the ands now, because that when we use the but I can't do that, but it stops all the creative flow. It stops all the possibilities when it's yes and yes, I'm acknowledging this part.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not diminishing our past. We're not diminishing our experiences. We're not diminishing our truth. And we're empowering the future. We're empowering the change. We're empowering opportunities, or just leaving possibilities open for them to come. And when we do that, it changes the energy, it changes the potential, it gives us hope. And I refuse to live without hope again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. And you know what? It also sort of validates our humanity, right? Because we're not one thing, right? So we can feel two conflicting emotions at the same time. Like, yes, this scares me, or I'm annoyed, or I'm frustrated, or I don't feel like working today, which I feel like a lot of the times. And I love what I'm doing, and I want to see what I can help. You know, like both of those things can be true at the same time. And so if we could find a way to hold space for them both, I think it can change things for sure.
I think it is a true picture of the duality of humanity, just as you just said it, because that is logistically the life that we live, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're humans and powerful and strong, and we're spirits and, you know, we're feminine and masculine. We're all of these things. The duality of it is comical at times.
Yeah.
And so, we do live in that. So it's so perfect. So perfect. But I just am so grateful for your time. I'm so grateful for you sharing your story, that you're in my world now. And I'm so grateful for that. And if you are looking for someone, if you're hearing this and you resonate with the softness of her voice or the confidence of what she shared, or her story, you have a similar story, or you're inspired by this, please check the show notes. Please reach out to her. Connect with her on social media. Learn, listen, lean in, get to know her. You will be blessed just by knowing her. And if this is something that you need support with, I'm telling you, I got a girl. She is a person. She is known as the career steward, and I think she is all that and so much more. And I'm so grateful to have you on the show, to have you share your story. Final question is, what is your favorite resource that is saving your life, making your life better, or thing that you want to impart to someone else listening today? I've heard all kind of gifts, tricks, hacks, things, but what's the one thing that you really love that you want to share?
Oh, the one thing, there's so many things that I love, and I guess, ooh, that's hard to answer for me, because what I want to say are like, is books. Like I'm
so
obsessed.
What's your favorite book? What book are you reading right now that someone needs to read?
Oh, what am I reading right now? What did I just finish? Hold on. I'm thinking I read multiple books at the same time. And so now I'm looking at my shelf to see which one's at the top of it. So I just recently read a fiction. This is totally off topic, but just because you asked, the most recent fiction I read was called A Love Song for Ricky Wilde. And it was really whimsical and lovely. And then I recently finished, this will be interesting for your reader, your listeners, The Garden Within, right before that. And it is about, it's very similar from what I hear to The Body Keeps the Score.
Okay.
But it's like an author who's a minister and a therapist. She wrote this book about honoring your feelings and your heart and your mind. And it's literally about that, listening to your body and to your heart to make your decisions. How can you let your heart and your intuition lead? And it was very helpful for me, because I was a person who was always in my mind, in my head, and trying to think my way through life. And what I really just discovered in this book is like, actually, that doesn't work, because your heart will win every time. So back to us saying that, you know, God put the desires in your heart and all of those things. It was really like, how do I honor my emotions? How do I honor what's in my heart? How do I live that way? How do I allow myself to fully be seen in those emotions? And that was a really, really powerful book. So I guess if I had to say in a season of my life, one of the books that's really supported me was that one. It's called The Garden Within.
I love that. Okay, so I'm writing that down. So this is another little tip that one of my guest told me about, and so that's why I asked, because she mentioned that, and I'm like, I have to try that. So sometimes I learn things that I'm like, you know, sometimes it's like Google Notes or you know, something that a spreadsheet or whatever, but sometimes it's like this, like you learn about a book. So I love it. So The Garden Within, got it.
It's a good one.
I love that. Yeah, the Body Keeps the Score is a great book, but it's super heavy. It's a very heavy book.
Okay.
If you're going through any kind of trauma and healing journey. So be prepared to, for me, I read it in chunks. I'd read it, set it aside for a couple months, and then come back and like read it and set it aside. It was just a lot because I had to kind of process things.
Process. Yeah, for sure. What I really liked about The Garden Within is that she had a lot of stories. So it sort of broke up what she was saying. And it was faith-based. So she had a lot of scripture references in there. And so she was able to really approach things from a very therapeutic perspective and also a very faith-based perspective. And a very, like, it was just like we were saying, the dichotomy of being human and divine is like in that very book. And so it was really beautiful.
Oh, beautiful resource. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
No problem.
So I just, again, I hate to end this. I think we could talk for another hour, but we're going to wrap it up today. And I just want to thank you again for being on the show. And as a rock mover, we just want to encourage you to keep moving those rocks. Just know that you don't have to do it alone. Help is here. Just reach out, but keep moving them one rock at a time. Have a great day.
Thank you.
I love that. Okay, that wraps up another amazing episode of The Rock Movers. Huge thank you to our guest and to you for joining me today and being a part of this incredible journey. Your story, strength, and your willingness to grow and transform those rocks are what makes this community and our podcast so special. And I want to invite you that if this resonated with you, if anything hit a nerve, struck home, reach out. You can have a free discovery call, no obligation, no high pressure sales, just you and I having a conversation where I can see if there's anything that I can do to help you further with this topic. And I want to invite you to check out my free resources on my website. Use VIP 2024 to get free access as my gift to you for listening to today's show and for being a part of our rock moving family. You'll find that on my website along with some other resources. Grab all that you want. They're there for you to be a resource and just to add value to your life. And I've got several other events coming in 2025. We're going to do some retreats. We're going to do some sistership circles, and I have another conference coming up in June. So like, follow, subscribe, stay in touch, stay in tune, and let's stay connected because I want to know how I can serve you better, how I can help and make a difference in your life. Whatever it is, just know, whatever you're going through, you can do this. Everything's figure outable. Just know you don't have to do it alone, but keep moving those rocks